Hey everyone, this is my Star Trek episode, the movie, and it's going to be full of spoilers. So if you haven't seen the movie, go ahead and save this episode for later. It's a good one, but yeah, you might want to check this one out later. Okay, enjoy the show. Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line. This is Kat, your hostess, and I have with me Will and Phineas.
Hello. How you doing?
Yo, what's up?
Oh,
happy Mother's
good.
Day to the mothers and the mothers with the U. I'm one of the mothers with the U. So happy
what
Mother's Day
mean?
To the mothers and the mothers with the U.
What does that mean?
You know, the mother is half of the MF word, see?
Oh!
So you're either a mother or a mother.
We're starting off spicy already, aren't we?
I thought I put it politely. I'm not a mother, but
okay,
I'm a mother.
Okay, hey, but
that's a mother or a mother?
Hey! Gosh, every time you two get together, it's always...
Yes, Mom. Jeez.
I am not a mom.
Oh,
I do have two cats, and I'm there.
Yeah, then why are you pulling us together like we're 12-year-olds?
Maybe that's my dominatrix coming out. How about that from last time we recorded? How about that?
Hello.
Yeah, no. Well, I haven't even released that episode yet.
Yes, I know, by the way, but we won't talk about that.
I edited that thing for like 2 hours already. And I'm still done, so I'll get it. Yeah, because we talk too long. So anyway, we're going to do that again.
Yes.
So guess what? What we're going to do today is we're going to talk about Star Trek. Oh. Okay, I'll stop that.
No, I'm digging that.
Wow, y'all got quiet.
No, I'm digging that. We're into that.
I can't say mother, but you can make it do an obscene version of the Star Trek thing. What's
it
up with that?
God, it was that bad? Gosh, okay.
No, it was not
that
bad. He's a professional musician. When you want.
Man, picky. So, guys, what did y'all think of the movie? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Did you, what?
What?
Go ahead, Will.
They made a new Star Trek movie? I hope they don't change everything.
Oh, God.
Nah, I loved it. I loved that movie. Oh, God, was it good. Oh, my Lord. Why? Okay, first 10 minutes. Okay, show of hands. First 10 minutes. Who got teary-eyed? Who teared up?
What happened in the first 10 minutes?
George Kirk was killed.
Oh yes, yeah. Oh.
Who teared up when George Kirk died? I got my hands.
It was cool, but it was a little over-dramatized to me. I mean, you know, the dude is about to fly the ship into the enemy ship, and he tells his wife, "Oh, you know, just name him James Tiberius Kirk."
Tiberius? Actually, no way. That's not going to work.
Actually, she told her not to even name him Tiberius. Remember?
Well, yeah. But, okay, my thing I love was they're talking on the phone, basically, like humans do now, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
You know, because the reason you have a mobile phone now is because they had the communicators in Star Trek. I mean, basically, that's how it works. You know, that technology exists now because some geek in 1973 saw it and said, "Hey, wait a minute, we can make phones like that, I think." And that's why they're phones like that now. And it evolves along that line to now people are using phones in ways that you wouldn't think of. And a married couple having a conversation while they're doing other things, that makes sense. And it just... I was cool with it. I was going along. This is pretty dramatic. This is pretty nice. I like this. This is cool. And then Kirk cries. The kid cries. And George hears it. I'm like, oh my fucking God. He heard his kid cry. And I almost went. I almost went over the cliff at that point. I was like, oh. And then there's an emotional.
You're kind of emotional. Yeah.
Oh God, yes, but I mean
you have a
like,
soft spot. That's so cute.
Like, Okay, hands up. Who cried? Who
I cried did not cry. Mammy it was okay, died. But it was
no.
Me.
When Mammy's mother died, who cried? No, I'm serious.
Exactly. That's what I thought too. The Bambi thing. You know what I mean? It was almost like one of those Disney moments that they just stuck in there at the beginning, just to. You know what I'm saying? That's what I thought it was. I mean, it was cool. It was okay because, you know, one thing I can say about this movie overall is that they stayed true to the history of the characters, okay? Except that because of this anomaly to bring these people from the future, it kind of changed everything, but they still held to the history of it. But the whole thing with the father having to sacrifice his life and all that stuff, that was kind of a bit corny, but it fit in the movie. I won't say
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, this gets back to what we were talking about in the missing episode, was the fact that special effects aren't movies. Putting a bunch of special effects together does not make a movie. And I think a lot of people out there have designed movies like that, and they found out that, you know, people don't. They'll see them, but they don't like them or enjoy them or embrace them at all. The reason
this one has exactly. everything, yeah.
Exactly. And that's what I like about it. I mean, that okay, the whole build-up to it, okay, good, pretty good, liked it. But that 2 minutes of conversation between the two characters, between, Kirk's father and his mother, were like just an amazing little thing you could pull out of that and go, look, here's something that you've got. Two human beings having an emotional conversation.
And I think that's why, you know, you take anybody that's an American that's watching this movie or anybody across the world that's watching this movie can take away, you know, not feeling like a geek because they have to understand anything or anything like that. It was just a movie that they could relate to. And that was the best, my favorite thing about this movie is that, you know, I loved it, yes, for Star Trek, but I felt that it was, you can relate to it. Anybody could relate to it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that entirely.
So what about you, Phineas? What do you think of, I mean, I guess we could step away from the beginning since Will, you know, cried like a little girl over it, but not. I'm kidding.
Choked
I'm kidding.
Up. I choked. I did not cry. I choked. And I will admit, not the last time I choked during the film. Let's move on.
Okay.
So here's my thought of the movie. First of all, I like the movie a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They stayed true. They really, I think that these characters would have made a better set than the original characters, except for I still like Nicole Nichols better. I think she's still hotter looking than Lieutenant Uhura. But the whole thing is, the overall, when you think back to the history of Commander Pike, Captain Pike,
mm-hmm.
they kept true to that because remember in the old episode,
yes.
he was in the wheelchair. They kept true to the background about James Kirk when he reprogrammed the simulation
mm-hmm.
and to cheat the simulation.
Yeah.
They stayed true to all of that. They put all of that in there. The only thing about the movie, there was really no bad part of the movie. It was just not what I expected. What I expected was, okay, they're just gonna push this guy James Kirk through, and he's gonna be captain of the Enterprise, and we're gonna see all these fight scenes. And what happens is, James Kirk gets dogged out through the whole flick.
I like that though. It was great.
It was great. The way that they did the way that they kind of put the old Spock into the mix, the way that they kind of twisted around you ever seen that move that TV show Black Sheep?
No.
You know where they were talking about the squadron from World War II?
Yeah.
And
I used to love that. Pepper Boynton, love that stuff.
Yeah. This. The way that they put the crew together is almost reminds me of that. You know, they kind of pirated the Star Trek crew together. You know, okay,
yeah.
This guy gets his. You know, I mean, everything was a scam. He scams his way onto the ship. He makes all these allies. You know, and then all of a sudden he finds a loophole to take over the ship. So in essence, it reminded me of like the old Black Sheep film. Where where Major Boynton kind of did the same thing to hijack a squadron, you know?
Right,
but
exactly.
Yeah.
That's That's a very good observation. I didn't even remember that, but you're absolutely right.
Look at that. It works the same. I thought it was very different from being, you know, just straightforward. We're going to be a crew, and this is. I didn't expect them to, you know, cobble the crew together like that, and I liked it because it, you know, it's kind of organic.
Yeah,
in it.
And most
important, they brought the green woman back.
Yes, the Orion slave girl. Yeah.
Yes, liking her.
Love her. So what do y'all think? Who's your favorite character?
Ooh,
that's hard. I like them all. I mean, I like except for like I said, I still am loyal to the original Lieutenant of Hurl. Now that was a twist there. You know,
I like that. I just couldn't.
It took me like probably half the movie to get over the fact that Spock was banging.
I'm kissing.
Yeah, because I was like, what about
kissing.
Nurse Chapel?
There was no banging. There was only kissing.
Come on, wake up, boy.
No, I'm just saying, you know, I mean, they didn't go dirty with it or nothing like that, but obviously they've been dating for a while, you know, I mean.
I like it because we can skip over the whole Spock going on with his emotions and he have to control them and he can't have love. And yeah. Oh, yeah, now that all of the Vulcans are gone, they have to dismiss Ponfar. That's going to be great, you know. But it surprised me that those two would be matched up together, Uhura.
Because they're completely the opposite of each other, you know.
Well,
completely
opposite.
He's conflicting, you know. He's an extreme. He's almost bipolar, you know, in a sense, because he goes from one extreme to the other. One minute he's extremely logical, and next minute he's gonna kick your butt, you know. I mean, he's really not a happy medium. And then for him to get with her, and she's kind of like. Cool, you know, it was just kind of strange. That was kind of strange. Oh, but did you like? Now, what did you think? Now, first he said this when they went to that drill thing, and the dude said, "Oh, well, I have special training in fencing, right?" And then he pulls out a samurai sword.
Ooh.
That was my favorite part of the whole movie.
Yeah,
that was cool.
That was cool. That was very cool. I liked all the characters. I liked Sulu. I liked, you know, Uhura especially. I liked the development between of Uhura between Kirk and Uhura and Spock and Uhura, because that was a very interesting dynamic going on there.
Yeah, I kept wondering how far are they gonna let her take her clothes off before she really.
Yeah, she was pretty naked.
I was like, hey, there we go. How far are we gonna go?
No, I didn't want to see all that, honestly. But I appreciate you.
Oh, I'm sorry. The guy's standing next to her with his shirt off, and we like that.
Yeah, of course, but you know he just had
his shirt
off.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what? Have you...
That's what I'm saying.
Anyway,
that one with the shirt off. That's what I'm saying.
But you know
what?
Really,
there's
something y'all didn't notice though.
What?
There's something y'all didn't notice. The fact that she was not shocked or surprised or did not even flinch when she saw him half naked.
Oh, yeah, because they're over that by now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, care about that.
Much.
Right. Nobody cares about that anymore. But I really like Kirk. I like this Kirk because the other Jim Kirk, he was different. And this one, he was just totally rebel, totally, you know, drunkard and loose and troublemaker, but he was smart, and I like that.
The old Kirk was just the same way, but the only thing is that they could only get away with him doing so much at TV at that particular time.
Right.
But
right.
I don't think they changed the character. I just think that now they had an opportunity to make a real Kirk instead of a watered-down version.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
I agree with that. Well, the only difference would be his academic standings, because you know the whole idea from the TV show. I mean, where no one has gone before. There's the line where the guy gives, you know, what was it, Admiral or Cadet Kirk? What was he? You know, it was a walking pile of books. You know, he just had all these books on him, and he was so worried about studying. And this Kirk is more laissez-faire about study, but he's like you say, he's naturally gifted, and he has that.
Now, what did y'all think about the police chase scene?
What, I kind of liked it.
Didn't it hurt your feelings that that guy drove a 66 Corvette off of a cliff?
Yeah, that was pretty sad.
Okay.
I
that
was antique.
I have one question.
Yeah.
Where's the cliff in Iowa?
Oh.
Where is that exactly?
It's not flat land?
It's a little marginally flat.
If you go out to Western Iowa, there are places where there are cliffs. Now, I don't know exactly where that cliff was.
I believe it was in a computer myself.
It's pretty flat, but once you start getting into the higher plains going out towards Western Iowa, yes, there could be cliffs there. The same thing in Missouri, too. People think Missouri's flat, but once you start getting halfway through the state, you start going into hills and river valleys and everything else. So,
okay, screw the cliff. What about the cop? He was like RoboCop. He was awesome. He was weird.
RoboCop,
There's one robot the entire thing is get on.
Huh?
I was shocked because they didn't have... I'm thinking, okay, he's going to kick this kid's behind. And he just sits up there and says, "What's your name, son?" I'm like, "Come on, man, you ain't no cop." You gotta whoop his butt or something, man. Tear
they don't
him
do
up,
that anymore, Phineas. They've gotten over that. But he was like, "Is there a problem, officer?" After he done ran a car off of a cliff and stuff. What is that? That's pretty cute. It was cute. The bad guy was a little too Shinzon from.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Yeah, he was. It's like Shinzon with face paint. Although Shinzon was a little more, you know, funny. But this guy, I mean, did they say that was a mining vessel?
Yes, and he's that's Romulan. He's supposed to be a Romulan.
Right. Okay. So mining vessels have that much firepower. Why do they need that? I mean, I know it's a blow up.
A modified mining vessel.
Oh, right. Alright, forgive me, yes.
Well, and don't forget, you're talking about a mining vessel from the future. There's your difference. See, their average weapon is probably way powerful than a weapon of the time from 100 years ago, you know. So a minor defense will probably kill something that was, you know, that's just like if I had like a bazooka and went back to the Civil War, you know, I could do some pretty good damage, you know.
That's very good. That's a good comparison there. Thanks. I like that.
Yeah. So
that's very good. That's good.
That's what I think about the weapons. And as far as that, the biggest thing about the mining, the most dangerous thing about the mining vessel was the fact that it could drill a hole in a planet, and that they had the red matter.
Right, because they are a mining vessel, so they would have a drill like that because they have to, terraform planets or something, right? That's
or
basically
or whatever.
Yeah, okay. Or mine. Yeah, get through the rock.
Right.
To the dilithium crystals.
So, so in this timeline, we say we have, like, few Romulans, few Vulcans, and a blown-up San Francisco. That's what we're...
And the Klingons.
Oh God!
You know if anything disappointed me about this movie at all, which it didn't. I missed the Klingons. I miss some guy that's in the middle of all of this trying to start some mess for his own self-serving purpose. You know, and they have to fight them off while they're trying to really do something. Now, I kind of miss that. That's, you know,
yeah,
that's
like some Ferengi or the Klingon or something crazy like that, yeah.
Well, the Ferengi wouldn't have been in this timeline according to the original Star Trek. Remember, the Ferengi didn't come out till the Next Generation. So
but
the Next
existed.
Generation.
They've existed.
Yeah,
they've
that's
existed
true.
For the whole while.
I don't know about that. I don't think there were Ferengi in the original.
They had their own timeline. It's just like, you know, Native Americans were always here. We just didn't know about them. You know, sort of like that.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll buy that.
Okay. But forget that anyway.
Well, I mean, but I think now you can start looking back at the series and go, okay, all bets are off. So we can have a first encounter with the Klingons. And do, you know, and you know, kick some major ass, I think, is what we're
saying. So what are you saying? What are you saying, that the Klingons, that they haven't had first encounter yet? That's what you're saying? No, they wouldn't have had, right? Right.
But yeah, in the timeline, well, maybe they have in the timeline, but I'm thinking in terms of the TV show. If this happened, I'm thinking this happened right before the first episode of the TV show. Maybe, you know,
it had to be before, because Pike had to go to that planet and Pike was
in command of the ship. So yeah, it was definitely before he left the ship. Right. But the thing, the concept of these characters going off into basically the new adventures, you know, mm-hmm. of the show. I mean, literally, they could, and I know they're not going to do it. I was thinking, what could you take from the old show and make into an interesting episode, or, you know, movie? And I was thinking you could do, like, the one thing they will not do under any circumstances, because... No, well, I'm hoping that too. But the one thing they wouldn't do under any circumstances is the Edge of Time episode with written by Sitting on the Edge of Forever. The one with written by Harlan Ellison, because he's still
cranky about that.
He's still suing them over it. Oh, he's suing the Writers Guild now, because they didn't back him on it, which I thought was pretty funny.
Right.
But you know, I like Harland and I'm you know.
But that
I'm
was a, that him. Was pretty much a standalone episode, so they could go without. You know.
Yeah, but see that would could be you know the whole timeline thing. They could toss the timelines in there and the
time. You know what I think?
You know, that. But I don't want him to do another time story.
Oh yeah, time. True.
What I would like to see them now that they've established this new standard for the characters, I it would be nice if they just started over again instead of going back mm-hmm. and trying to revive the old series.
Yes.
Since history has changed, they set it all up. They blew up Vulcan. Okay, so since Vulcan doesn't exist anymore, then I would just like to see them take these new directors and reinvent mm-hmm. Star Trek all over again. Because now there's a lot of things that are going on in the world now that remember because there were a lot of things that they made episodes out of based on things that were happening at that particular time that aren't happening like that anymore. And I would just like That's to true. See them just reinvent Star Trek from this point and say, okay, now we got these characters, we've reinvented them, we've got the crew back together again, mm-hmm. we got touchscreen displays all over the bridge, which I thought was the bomb.
But you know
what I appreciated about it even more?
Yeah.
The engineering section did not look like somebody's living room with a lamp in the middle of it.
It actually looked like
if you ever been into the bowels of a ship or anything like that, that's
even a building,
or even a factory, that's what it looks like. It does not look like somebody's living room with a lamp in the middle of it. You know?
Mm-hmm. I appreciated so, that.
Or big screen TV and a chair. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I did like that. I mean, ultimately, I'm looking at those sets, it's like they obviously went to some factory somewhere and, you know, relit it, and oh look, it's the Starship Enterprise. Yeah. But I wanted to see that design look with like some curved walls, you know. It's like this right here, this 4-5 inches on the other side of this is a hard vacuum. You know, I wanted to see some concept that, yeah, that ship, you see a huge ship on there? It's tiny. It's a tiny, huge ship. And we need all this stuff crammed in here just to get us moving. But
how did you like the Willy Wonka chocolate factory scene?
What do you mean?
Remember in the Willy Wonka?
Through the pipes?
Yeah, through the pipes.
I never saw that movie. But yeah, that was cool. I really liked Scotty. I really liked him. He was funny.
Simon Pegg. He did it. He's a comedic genius, and he did it by being Scotty and by not being Scotty.
Yes,
because he's more caustic than Scotty, but Scotty is more friendly.
He was and gritty.
He was able to balance the two points.
I wasn't that enthused with Dr. McCoy.
I don't think that they really gave him a chance, the character a chance to kind of, how can I put it? They didn't give him enough of a chance to intermingle into the situation. They just kind of popped him in there here and there. He really, really wasn't involved directly with that much stuff, you know, except for a few scenes. So I don't think that there was even really a chance for him to show how good or bad of a Dr. McCoy he is.
Shouldn't he have been a Southern guy, at least?
He is from the South.
No, Southern U.S. Southern U.S. Southern country doctor.
Australia, really how more South can you get than Australia?
I am going to hurt you.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. I mean, because I just saw Chronicles. When I saw the doctor, I saw Chronicles of Riddick. And I wanted him to, you know, have a British accent. And I don't know. I don't know about Dr. McCoy. He was too cliche. He was, I'm a doctor, not a blah. And all of his stuff was just
once.
Too...
He said that once. He did say that once.
He did a whole bunch of stuff. And that was just too Dr. McCoy.
Are you out of your Vulcan mind?
Yeah.
Which I thought was very cool.
It was cool, but it was just like, huh.
No,
That was one character that they really, every other one they kind of worked a little, I can say this, every other character they worked a little harder to revamp the character. I don't think they did as much to Dr. McCoy as they did to some of the other characters.
I agree. The doctor is important to me, you know, I don't know. I liked him. I won't complain or go on a tirade or anything, you know, any further, but... I don't know. I think he was just
What about Chekhov? What did you guys think about Chekhov?
I think the way they reinvented that character was perfect.
Yeah.
Was perfect. Also, you know, Chekhov in the original series never got, I guess it's because of the time, you know, because of the Cold War thing and the dude being a Russian and all that.
Right.
They did not give him a whole lot of credit for being smart or for being able to do things in the older series, even though he did, they kind of downplayed his character some, and I think that this time making him and more involved, like, and kind of pushing them out there was a good revamp of the character.
I agree.
Yeah, I liked him a lot too. The thing about it was, now as a character in the series, he didn't start till the second season.
Right.
And that would have been roughly 4 years from then.
Oh.
Yeah. So if this is actually running along the old timelines,
yeah, the timeline
he would have
shown
up
damned.
4 years later.
Timeline be damned, though. Because Kirk's dad is dead, so, I mean, that just throws a lot of things
series,
off. Yeah, we can't.
But I'm thinking he's...
In the original series, Kirk's father was alive, remember?
Right, right.
When he graduated from Starfleet,
I understand. I understand, but I'm saying in this time stream... Because everything has changed at some point.
Well, yeah. No, in Wrath of Khan said that he remembered Chekhov from Space Seed. So maybe Chekhov was on there the whole time. We just never saw him. How about that?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
I was going to make a case for him being 17 and actually being... He could have been 21 on the actual series.
Dude, don't take that seriously.
And that would have worked out, but hell...
they would have had to make him 21 on the original series for him to see Uhura in that short skirt, man.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
There you go, with Uhura in the short skirt again.
They didn't see the belly button, so it was okay. Jeez.
Oh, Christ. You guys.
Oh, Christ, they got nothing to do with what I was thinking when I thought the short skirt.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm just saying, she didn't, no belly button showed, so it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, God, that was so damn long ago. So damn long ago.
Almost 50 years, buddy.
In my lifetime, guy. My lifetime.
So,
yeah.
So do you think that Star Trek is cool again? Do you think kids like it? Do you think they'll be the fever for it again? Or is this just one shot, one deal, and now it's done?
Well,
I think that the people that... It's just like anything else, you know. I think that, you know... There's a lot of things that have lasted the test of time for generations. Star Trek is one of them. But I mean, like Star Wars. Heck, how old is Star Wars? I mean, we could just go on and on. There are several things that have lasted over the test of time that kids have just gotten into throughout the generations because their parents watched it, and some of it will just go forever. I think Star Trek will be one of them. There's enough of a fan base, even with the original, that I think will continue to go on. I just hope they just don't stop it at this episode or this movie. I hope they just continue to work on that and say, hey, we got a cash cow happening, and just a whole new Star Trek series. I mean, yeah, really, from the beginning, and work on that, because the way that the Star Trek went the first time, it was cool, but I just couldn't really get into some of the little flavors of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is kind of goes to the core of what made the original Star Trek so cool, you know?
Yeah.
But,
Right. No, I definitely agree with that. I think that at this point, you've got, you know, J.J. Abrams and Orci, and I can't remember the other guy's name, who did Fringe, who wrote the stories for Transformers 2 and 1, and they wrote something else for him. I can't remember. I think they were Cloverfield or were producers. Lost. They worked on Lost. I don't know what else they did. But they see they're like a little insular group. And they went, wouldn't it be cool if, back and forth, and they made this story. And they did a really cool job of it. If you take a very small step back and look in, there were in the after the end credits, tons of producers. Tons, oh yes, this guy did this, and this guy did that, and la-di-da-di-da. And it was just so, it was a little group in a huge studio. And the problem is, who holds it for the next film? The little group or the huge studio?
I don't know.
And go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm cool with whoever does it, because anything is better than somebody taking a good Star Trek movie with a good theme and putting William Shatner in it and have him overacting, you know, throughout the whole damn movie. I mean, as long as they don't put him back in there. I mean, I like William Shatner, and he served his purpose, and I love him for it. But, man, I got tired of going. After the Wrath of Khan, it was just like, okay, I was just going to a Star Trek movie just because I was a Star Trek fan. I really didn't enjoy the fact that this guy was overacting in really good storylines. I mean, really good storylines, good plots, but they stick this old corny guy in there, you know?
So you think Chris Pine is a better Shatner?
I definitely agree with
that. You think Chris Pine is a better Kirk?
Oh, the new Kirk?
Yeah.
Oh,
you think new Kirk is better than old? Really? Whoa! Wow!
Hell,
some people
you know
wouldn't
what?
Say it. Some people wouldn't
you,
say it.
You know
yeah.
what? You know what? You know what? I may get flamed for this, but here's a few reasons why.
Uh oh! Lay it down. Lay it down.
Okay. Number one, he did not overact. Okay. He did not. He was not over dramatic. I mean, the way that he exerted his attitude was more realistic, you know, of a person of that personality. You know what I mean? He, you know, I think that really he represented the character a heck of a lot better and with a lot more depth.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I think, and that's why I like him better. The old Kirk was more like Batman in a Star Trek uniform. You know what I mean? I'm Batman, you know. I mean, you know what I mean? You're waiting for him to put on a mask, you know, and start walking up buildings and shit, you know. that's how corny William Shatner was. I mean, and the only reason that you watch the show is because you get to see some beautiful alien woman that he's going to take out or whatever. And that was half what I'm saying is, yes, I like the new Kirk better. I might get flame for it. Hey, if you got your opinion, that's fine. I think he really adds to the Captain Kirk character by far. By
I definitely
far.
Agree. I definitely agree. I don't think
I can't disagree
that,
either.
Well, I think a character...
Now ask me about Spock.
Oh! I like Zachary Quinto.
Get back and we sit down. Go ahead. What about Spock?
Yeah, what about Spock?
On the opposite end, if they would have took a later, an older version of Spock, I'd like Leonard Nimoy's version of Spock better, but I'm not talking about when the show first started. I'm talking about when as he evolved. Mm-hmm. Like if they would have took him like from the, you know, from later on when he was doing the movies, and they put him in the original series, I think I would have liked that better than the new Spock. The new Spock, like I said, he was just, my complaint about him is that they made his character kind of like bipolar, you know?
My favorite part of the new Spock is when he's in front of the council and is saying, well, you did pretty good considering you're half human. You know, you're considering your limitations. And he was having none of that, and he told them to their face, live long and prosper. And it was like,
bitch, yeah.
Oh, live long and prosper, and fuck you too. Exactly.
The reason why I like this, yeah. The reason why I like this Spock a little bit
so
more.
Cold.
It is. It was. So but cold. I like him Black. Because he so was cold. Bipolar. I like that because Spock in the original series was more Vulcan than human. He just
right.
He was always more logical. He was always at first. But this one right away we get to see him, you know, experiencing being both Vulcan, both human, and you know, it's not as alien and he's more warm. And I like
at
that.
They did not try to make a male version of a T'Pol. T'Pol always confused me. She's hot looking, but she always confused me because okay, what are you? You know, you're supposed to be all Vulcan, but you know you're falling in love with people. I mean, what's going on with that?
Yeah, she was.
But at least they didn't that.
Well, I think the idea, and they do put it out in this movie is that the Vulcan is not devoid of emotion. A Vulcan suppresses his emotions, and that I mean everybody. It used to be everyone thought it was they didn't have emotions. And was no, they have
right.
Hyper emotions and they just keep it in check. And
that's true. I'm sorry, it's the phone delay again, but they I'm glad that they did that. I'm glad that they brought that out because in the end, if you remember in one of the Star Trek movies when the ambassador was getting older and he couldn't hold his emotions anymore, shows you that they do have emotions. But, you know, the way that, yeah, that's right. I'm glad they brought that out because now you see that they actually do feel things. They just go into this hyper-control mode. And
yeah.
I thought that was cool that they did that.
Was it to midichlorian reveal or was it, right on? You like that, you know?
It wasn't a lame excuse. It was a logical extension of that explanation. No,
yeah.
Honestly. I mean, I honestly believe that.
Okay.
I agree with you.
So, we didn't get that much with Sulu, though. I mean, we got a...
Sulu was good. Sulu was
perfect.
I like
Sulu, yeah.
He was very cool. He was interesting. He forgot the parking brake, and him forgetting the parking brake saved their lives.
Good.
By the way, I might remember.
Well, I liked his sword.
Oh, let me tell you. The first thing being an old recon that jumped out of airplanes. the first thing I was thinking was they, you know, in Battlestar Galactica towards the end they had that little static line jump into outer space to jump towards the spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
This
yeah.
by far was a cooler outer space paratrooper scene.
Yes.
It killed that scene.
They started in vacuum and went into the atmosphere. And that is like, oh my freaking God.
Yeah, scary.
And I mean, you know, that part to me, I mean, they almost took those free fall scenes from Battlestar Galactica and kind of, I mean, like I said, the way they did it, that was the best, you know, outer space paratrooper scene I ever seen. I mean, wait, they did it, and they simulated the speed of the fall and the fact that when that dude lost, when he lost his parachute, he went down and grabbed the guy. You know, he went down and grabbed the gun, and I'm forgetting names. But anyway, no, remember
that
Sulu. Yeah, when he went down and grabbed Sulu, where he free-falled and grabbed Sulu and all that.
Yeah,
that was a somebody. They, I mean, it was one of the best. It is, or the best. It was the best outer space paratrooper scenes I ever seen. It was great.
Oh.
I loved it. And what I especially liked was how Sulu downplayed his experience to fencing. Oh, my advanced hand-to-hand combat is fencing. Yeah, yeah, right. You come out with this instant switchblade samurai sword. You know,
that was like, the sweetest sword ever. Man, that's better than any Klingon sword.
I'm telling you, when I go to China, I'm smuggling one of those things back, man. I'm serious. Somebody's going to make one. Somebody's going to make a switchblade. Huh?
Monofilament blade?
Oh yeah, it's gonna be one of those. It's gonna be some type of thing. They hit the button and poof, the blades pop out. Man, it's a samurai.
It exists. Segmented sword exists.
Yeah,
as a samurai weapon, or as a samurai, but martial arts weapon. It definitely does. Yeah, I mean, let's talk about how cool the movie just looked.
Yeah.
I think that they did amazing things. A lot of people are kind of annoyed with that lens flare thing.
I was too. I noticed it.
Except for the fact that obviously it's very hard not to notice, but I think they used it for some standing cuts. Because there's one shot later in the movie where the camera's just looking straight on at somebody, and then there's a big lens flare that obscures everything, and then you cut back to the same shot, and the dialogue kind of ran over that break, but I'm looking at it thinking, I bet that was a cut. There were two shots, and they wanted a cut between them, and they didn't have any out, and they just put a lens flare there, so that you couldn't see the cut.
Oh.
Well, if you didn't see this thing in digital, the digital was so sharp.
I did not see it in digital.
Me.
I didn't see it in digital.
If you would have saw this thing, and it took me about a couple of minutes just for my eyes to adjust to the sharpness of the picture.
So was it a good experience? Was it a good experience, Phineas?
After my eyes adjusted, yeah.
What was the adjustment? Was it ugly or was it just too much? Or
my brain went into overload. It was just like it was almost too detailed, and things were moving too fast. I mean, the frame rates were really, really fast.
Ooh, I
gotta
go see that.
He nearly cut his eyes open on the sharpness of the picture.
Mm.
He nearly cut his eyes.
Yeah. See. Well, it was. How can I put it? It's just like you know, maybe Will can relate to this. If not, you too, Kat. When remember in the old days when you used to have to tell the computer what the sync rate of the screen is?
Yes.
If you would go to a resolution that was really at the borderline of what the monitor could handle, you get this kind of like, you would see the resolution, but you would kind of get this out of sync.
The strobe effect, where it was like,
that's
was like
how
left
it
right.
was.
Yeah,
and I mean, you see everything, but when you would like see a line, the line would look like it's switching colors, you know, or constantly switching colors, or constantly. It was that kind of thing when I first started looking at the screen. It was just like, oh my God! But once and everything was just moving so fast, and then after about maybe about 2 minutes, I finally got to the point where my eyes could sync and could get in with it. But watching it digital, man, it was the bomb.
Mm.
And I think the those effects took that into consideration, that, you know, all those effects. I mean, I did not have any problems with any of the effects once my eyes adjusted to the movie. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. You know, if you got a couple of extra bucks, you know, and you go see it again.
I'm like, a couple.
I want to go. I know, right?
Okay,
I want to go to IMAX.
Okay, for me.
The
IMAX.
IMAX
experience. Yeah, but how much is it for you in Houston?
How much? I paid $9.
I bought it online for it cost me $10.25, but I bought it off of Fandango because I didn't know if they were going to.
Oh my God!
What?
Okay. To get into the theater, $11.50.
Well, look for you.
Oh, actually, I caught no matinee. I paid $7.50. I'm sorry.
Oh damn. Okay.
But I had it early.
IMAX. IMAX.
Mm-hmm.
$16.50.
Yeah, because it's IMAX. What are you talking about?
I'm like, wait a minute. I know the resolutions here. It's not worth that.
No. You know what?
IMAX is huge.
I mean,
I could deal with that, but you know what? I can't deal with. I bought a Coke slush, a bottled water, and a hot dog, and it cost me $15.
$11.
$15.
My goodness. $15. I had a big purse, and I brought candy and a flask full of vodka.
Yeah, I know that. I kind of figured that up. That was your problem. You couldn't deal with the flash because your eyes were probably dilated.
I was sober enough to enjoy it. And there you have it. That is our show for this week. We rambled on for like another hour, so I had to kind of cut it short. But go ahead and give us a call. I would love to hear everybody's thoughts on Star Trek, the new movie, how you felt about it. Give me a call at 206-203-2289. That is 206-203-2289. Pick up your cell phone. Go ahead and call right now. Or you can leave a comment on iTunes, because you can do that there. Or just go to scifipartyline.com and leave a comment there. Or, you know, hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, Skype, MySpace, wherever you want to find me. And I am also at fancyfembot@gmail.com. See you next week. Thanks.